The Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. Well, in this week before May and May the 1st, there are assignments that have been landing from the evil one. And so we need to be extra vigilant. We have a beautiful community of souls who are deeply committed to following the Lord and serving one another. Truly, it is a joy for us to be together and see our individual ministries growing. However, Satan is watching us, and he is not a happy camper. Why? Because we are living in brotherly concord, serving one another, embracing our God and his truth every day, and impacting souls around the world. We are growing. Holy Spirit is expanding us and wanting the teachings to get to the furthest corner of the world. How beautiful that is. But along with the expansion comes the enemy's attack to keep us confined and hopefully, from his perspective, turning inward, attacking one another. I have said it before, we fill up on God so we can spill over on others in ministry, whether we're called to a specific ministry or just called to the ministry of the elect to give our witness. We are vessels unto honor, and in turn pour out on others. When Satan wants to destroy a ministry, he works from the inside out. He casts shadows and judgments over the leadership. He stirs up pride that wants to buck every move of a leader who is trying to be faithful to God. If he can stir resentment and judgment against the leaders, he has a very good chance of destroying the budding work of God. He reads each of us like a book. He knows our preferences and the way we think. He knows when we are lazy and want to do it our way. So he inspires criticism against the one who is leading in the vision the Lord has given him. He loves to inspire overwhelm to give us excuses as to why we didn't do something we were asked to do. I try very hard not to overwhelm you guys. But each of you has your own ambitions that drive you to overwhelm, and Satan knows just how that works, so he sets it up. And there I was just talking to the community members. They're so conscientious that sometimes they really do get overwhelmed. I'm very fortunate being married to a man who doesn't move at my speed, to put it mildly. And it has caused me to slow down and take into account the weaknesses of those around me. So I really do try to keep everyone in the community out from under the pressure and timing demons. But as I mentioned before, some of us are in the habit of pushing themselves. So we don't do well when we're asked to slow down. It's almost impossible for me at times to slow down. But the Lord has his ways and means to get me to slow down. Satan is well aware that rushing things is the perfect setup for strife and division. So he plans carefully how to speak to each one to inspire strife. For one, it's timing. For another, it's preferences. For many, it is plain old-fashioned laziness that doesn't want to do things another way that requires more effort. They're in a hurry to finish other more important projects, so they ignore directions and do it their way. And I have done that to the Lord. God forgive me. What does that do? It undermines and disrespects leadership, and things are done that never should have been done. And when they're confronted, there are all kinds of seemingly good reasons and excuses. Well, I had to do this first. Well, I didn't have the materials. Well, we already started a different way, and now I have to go back and redo it? The excuses discourage the one who has to answer to God for the vision. Time is wasted, money's wasted, resources are wasted. All because certain of us want to take shortcuts or insert our own ideas on what is best, ignoring the wishes of the person who's responsible to God. Then there are those who really don't want to be teachable. And one asks them to read or listen to different things, and the multitude of excuses and also roadblocks come up. So we have been praying very strongly against roadblock demons. There's a lot of that going on, and it delays things and it frustrates things. And the Lord wants us to be of one heart and one mind, so we all want to share with each other and be in the same place. And I have been in this place. May I say that the Lord deliberately did not put us on this planet alone. In Genesis, he says it is not good for men to be alone. In the letters, he says, do not forsake the fellowship of the brethren. God establishes hierarchies to help keep the peace and order. But when you have a soul that doesn't want to listen to outside sources and is totally interior with God, they can wall themselves off from the gifts that other souls have been sent to offer them. So it's better in that case to, you know, to rely on the wisdom God has given us, but also to listen and be teachable. So today, to punctuate minor dysfunction in the community, I woke up to a situation where someone in the community had had 7 mini strokes in the space of an hour. Now, I have to preface this by saying that this person had had 2 weeks of stressful situations, feeling isolated because his communications weren't getting out in a timely way or interruptions, and important conversations with people off the mountain. And 2 weeks ago, communication to their hermitage was severely hampered by a broken wire. Every day when they text or call, there was either no service or very, very bad connection, making it impossible. So we discussed that this needed to be done, but somehow, because of materials and time and things that we were working on, it kind of got on the back burner a little bit until this morning, when the pressure on this particular person was just so tremendous that we had to do something. So to add to this, the wonderful crew we have on the mountain are extremely conscientious and work very hard to finish their to-do list. But Satan's little devils know that if you push and send rush demons to needle them, these good conscientious souls will overdo it and be dry kindling for a fire. So on the one hand, those responsible for work feel slighted and unappreciated if I get upset about something. But on the other hand, some things have to be put on the back burner because of a project that's almost complete. But when an emergency arises, we have to drop what we're doing and take care of it. And Lord, I don't want to say anymore. Would you please take over? So he said, my children, love one another as I have loved you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love cares for their brother more than for their own selves. Love is yielding to changing demands. Love is flexible and knows how to prioritize the most important issues I set before it. Love does not make excuses or complain. My dear ones, I have supplied everything you need to carry out my holy will on this refuge. But remember, you are still in training. You have not yet arrived at the desired goal of sanctity. And how you respond to the immediate needs of your brother or sister reflects how much you love them and love me through them. If a soul has a pressing need that you've been told about and you put your needs and desires before theirs, you are demonstrating selfishness and a serious lack of brotherly love. I want you to hear each other, not just listen and respond positively, but to really connect with what is troubling that soul and make it a priority to the best of your ability. Some of you in this community are still very selfish. You do not listen with your heart, you listen with your intellect, and then prioritize it according to your good pleasure. And I confess, I'm one of those people. When you do this, you injure not just the person who's suffering in need, but the whole community, and ultimately yourself and me. When one suffers, all suffer. How then can I use you to minister to the outside world when you haven't yet learned to take care of your own? In reality, you are in a covenant relationship with one another. It's the same as if you were married. So that puts the responsibility on each of you to care for one another as you do for your own self. and never to postpone charity or obedience when necessity presents itself. Lay down your life for your friends, dear ones. Lay it down, your desires, your priorities, your favorite projects, your pressures, to do whatever it is that is pressing on you. Be your brother's keeper. When something is lost or goes wrong, and you think to yourself, it's not my problem, I'm busy with my own work, you make no effort to help, you have failed in brotherly love and charity. What would I do? I would stop my very important work and help that person find the missing object or overcome the problem they had no solution for. I would not callously walk away murmuring to myself, well, they lost it, they can go find it. It's not my problem. When you show disrespect to those who I have charged with your soul, you wound me and set yourselves up for a fall. When you don't listen with your heart and respond appropriately the way I would, you grieve me. Some of you are well aware of what you're doing, but you're like the son who said he would go and work in his father's fields, but went and worked on what he felt was more urgent, leaving his father's needs unmet. You know that this time of the year, before May 1st, the enemy is cursing and assigning demons overtime to bring about division and downfall to please Satan, who categorically hates this community. As Mother Claire has already told you, it was precisely this time, 20 years ago, when they separated, Ezekiel and Claire separated, and she stayed on the mountain. I separated them because both had serious defects to overcome before they could live together in peace. And I have called you to live together in peace. After a while, when they had both seen themselves more clearly and repented, I brought them back together again. It is not my desire to separate any of you from the community, but I will do it if it's necessary to bring you all into alignment with one another. You've seen me do this before with other souls that have left the community. A community cannot exist, cannot continue to exist without this kind of charity and brotherly love. It was the Church of Philadelphia that I promised deliverance to. Why? Because they were full of love and concern for one another. And then as an aside, in Revelation, Jesus writes critical letters to each of the churches. But to the Church of Brotherly Love, which is what Philadelphia means, he promised deliverance in the rapture. Jesus continued, I want you to understand that you are creating your own pressure and tension. You are taking the bait. You are falling for the same trick every day. And what might that be? It's the gotta get it done demon that is programming you like a Pavlov dog to jump and run and finish your to-do list. And I used to be this way, seriously this way. I was so goal-oriented that I neglected my children and their more important needs. Your mind is so easily moved that from heaven, it looks like you're a hungry dog and someone just threw you a bone, so off you go. And I'm not exaggerating. It is simply a trained response from your worldly life that automatically jumps and runs. Your moves are not deliberated with the Holy Spirit. They are trained by your patterns of life. Now is the time to change that. I am offering you the grace. No one is standing over you like a slave driver and cracking the whip. Yes, there will be changes from moment to moment in the schedule from what you plan to do. And yes, that is trying. But I am training you in godly obedience, detachment from your own agenda, self-control, and flexibility, godly flexibility. Those changes I have either created for your maturity or allowed to exercise you in holy obedience and detachment from your own ways. If you continue to be stubborn and have your own way and fly in the face of those who labor for your soul, you are retarding your spiritual growth. Even I must be ready when my father tells me to go and get my bride. even I have to be ready to stop what I'm doing and obey him. Should you be any different? Understanding that much of what has been revealed today has been retarding your growth and standing in the way of greater blessings and causing strife in your lives for many years. So please take my message to heart and understand Mother has been specifically chosen to help in the process of your sanctity. When you dismiss her requests as being less important than your own reasonings, you dismiss me, not her. And what is at the root of that? Arrogance and pride. I'm extending the scepter of humility to you right now as you hear these words. I'm giving you a grace. Please repent of your former ways and receive this grace. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastises, only because he loves them dearly. I indeed love you dearly, more than your earthly mind has the capacity to comprehend. Love me too, as well.